At first, he may seem something of a contradiction, a Benedictine monk working to preserve Islamic manuscripts. But Father Columba Stewart says while Christian manuscripts have been the main focus of his work for almost two decades, extremists like the Islamic State group have changed that. Father Stewart is the director of the non-profit organisation the Hill Museum and Manuscript Library in Minnesota, which works to digitise some of the world's most precious and endangered pieces of history. So far, it's managed to photograph more than 140,000 complete manuscripts and more than 50 million handwritten pages. Father Stewart spoke to me about his work from his home in Minnesota. Father Stewart, welcome to the world today.
Thank you very much.
Why did you first get involved in this digital preservation work?
I got involved because I'm a member of a Benedictine monastery which started this great project more than 50 years ago. There was interest in beginning to work with endangered Christian communities in the Middle East, and because I had some Middle East experience, they asked me to take charge.
Well, you've been engaged in digitally preserving Christian manuscripts for more than a decade, but why did you, as a Christian monk, decide to preserve the texts of another faith?
Well, we had an interesting experience working in Jerusalem with a Syriac Orthodox monastery in the Old City. It was very close to the Haram al-Sharif or Temple Mount, and just around the corner from some very important, very historic Muslim family libraries. They heard about our project and said, "What about us?" So we reflected on that for a bit and decided if these people have lived together in the same place for centuries and their books have lived in such close proximity as neighbors, why wouldn't we want to preserve that heritage as well? These manuscripts contain not only the deep thoughts, religious convictions, history of these particular communities, but they also record their interactions. And studying the interactions between religious groups in the past might just give us a clue for how to do it in the future.
How does the digital preservation process work?
So if we discover there's an important collection, or if we're approached by people who have an historic collection of manuscripts, we go and have a look, we get to know them, they get to know us, we establish a relationship of trust, and then we identify somebody in their community who will be trained to do the work.
What are the most precious things that you've seen?
That's a really difficult question to answer because people are often imagining beautifully illuminated manuscripts with lots of gold dripping off the page. And while it's true, we have photographed manuscripts like that. Beautiful illuminated Christian gospel books or beautiful golden Qurans. Some of the most important texts we've photographed are not particularly impressive to look at, but then you learn that it's the only surviving copy of a very, very important ancient text. And that's the kind of manuscript that gives us a whole new window onto the past.
You say that it's not necessarily the most beautiful manuscripts that are the most valuable. How hard is it for you to get access to some of those manuscripts that you really think you should be photographing and preserving?
Well, the policy that we adopt is wherever we go, we photograph every manuscript in the place because we don't have time to sit and read through them to decide which ones are worthy and which are not. And the decisions that we might make today are not the same decisions people might make a century from now when they recognize something else in the manuscripts or they are asking different questions. So we try to do everything that we find. And of course, you think you found them all in a particular place and then something else turns up or somebody in a completely different country or different manuscript culture approaches you and says, "Have you ever thought about working with Persian manuscripts or whatever it may be?" So we're beginning to get a sense of how much there is out there, as well as how many different kinds of risk. War is obvious, but there are also risks of poverty and communities that are slowly evaporating through immigration, leaving their manuscripts threatened and vulnerable. So we've got plenty to do.
Is it dangerous for the people who are in charge of the manuscripts to take on this work?
It certainly can be because our local partners, of course, are the people who are living there all the time, who are often in the advance of some kind of invading force having to grab manuscripts and run with them. So places like Iraq remain very dangerous, as is Syria. Mali in West Africa, where we've worked with the Timbuktu manuscripts, is a place that's always quite volatile.
You operate in some tumultuous places. Have any of the manuscripts that you photographed later been destroyed?
We have heard stories about the destruction of manuscripts in Iraq particularly. And we're only now being able to have our Iraqi friends go back into some of those places. I'll be going over in May myself to visit some of the villages that have recently been recaptured from the Islamic State. We've also heard some stories about what are seemingly near miraculous cases of manuscripts being hidden and safely preserved.
You mentioned Syria. How much do you fear is destroyed there now?
The stories that we've heard from places like Homs and Aleppo, where we worked, is that they were able to get the manuscripts out and to keep them safe. They're not accessible, so the only way for people to actually use them is through our digital photographs, but at least the originals are safe somewhere.
So there are particular families that you need to connect with. Is that the way it works?
It's sometimes families. In the Islamic material we've worked with, it has been family libraries so far. So you have these ancient families which had a scholar at some point who collected a lot of books, and then we connect with the family. In the Christian situations, it's been mostly working with monasteries or with bishops or patriarchs. But in every case, it's a relationship. And so going and spending time and sometimes going back over and over until they get a sense that you're for real, you're serious. But eventually, we forge that relationship.
Have you ever had trouble convincing someone that it was important to photograph these documents and that somehow you might be transgressing some religious concern by doing that?
There are people who are afraid that once it's digitized and put on the internet, somehow they've lost control of it. So they're worried that they will no longer be able to manage their heritage, that somebody might find a way to profit from it financially, which in fact is almost impossible to do. And I understand that anxiety, because often these are people who have suffered from people coming from outside their culture and then taking their cultural heritage. In most cases, we managed to find a way forward, but there have been cases where we never got in the door.
Does the rise of the Islamic State group make people more interested in the need for doing this?
I think the fear that's come as a result of that is the recognition that things can change very, very quickly. Iraq, the Islamic State, seemed to come out of nowhere and suddenly take over Mosul, the second largest city in the country. So I think this recognition of the extreme unpredictability that seems to be part of the modern world situation is making people realize that their heritage may not be as safe as they thought it was.
Have there been specific works that you weren't able to get to and that have now been lost forever?
So we know that there were some manuscripts, at least, in parts of Iraq that we did not get to with our Iraqi partners. And now with the gradual push of ISIS or the Islamic State out of areas like Mosul, we may learn about the fate of some of those manuscripts. There were also collections in Syria that we never got to. We hope that they've found a way to keep them safe. Again, we may not know for several years.
How does it make you feel when you imagine what is happening to a lot of this history?
Actually, I try not to think about it too much. So I try to follow the wisdom of the rule of Benedict, which is essentially to get up every day and start over, rather than looking back or being paralyzed by the fact that there's so much cultural heritage around the world, archaeological, written, human communities, ancient languages, all of that under threat. Instead, we have our little corner and we choose to do what we can.
Father Stewart, thanks so much for joining us.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
That's Father Columba Stewart from the Hill Museum and Manuscript Library in Minnesota.